I want to keep on talking you from the topic. Don't allow the enemy to take your mountain. In the previous sermon, I spoke about don't allow the enemy to take your mountain. We're going to speak about other stuff in other services, but I really believe this is so important for us as Christians to understand. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, don't let the devil take your mountain. Then I want to ask you, does the enemy have your mountain? Does the enemy have your mountain? When we study just the nation of Israel, we find that it is a peculiar nation. It is a special place. It is the nation which God calls home. The city of Jerusalem is the city of Jesus. It is God's city. And it's the people of Israel's city. No matter what people say, no matter what other people think, it is God's nation, it is God's city. And when we look at the nation of Israel, we find a very important place in that city, and that is the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount. I personally believe that the Temple Mount is the most central place on earth. It is the place where God has put down His stake and said, this is mine. Nobody will touch it. Nobody will conquer it. At the end of the day, it will be mine. But when we look at the Temple Mount today, we find interesting things. We find that the Temple Mount is obstructed and occupied by stuff that is not from God. We find the Temple Mount is there's stuff being built on the Temple Mount which the people of God didn't build. And God's people, the Jews, like you and I are His people, are found praying at the foot of the mountain. They are not praying at the top of the mountain because they don't have access to pray there. They are forced to pray at the foot of the mountain. It's at the top of the mountain that God wants them to pray, where God ordained them to pray. But because of obstacles and because of occupation by the enemy, the devil, the Temple Mount is now occupied by stuff that God doesn't want there to be there, and God's people are forced to pray at the foot. I believe that this is a physical picture or sign of what Satan wants to do in a believer's life. Family, you have to know that Satan will do everything and everything in his power to occupy and obstruct the mountain of prayer in your life. He will do anything. He will give you a nice flat screen TV, 60 inch. He will get your brothers and sisters in church to bless you. Oh, it's a gift from God. Yes? He will get you a new Xbox 360. He will do anything and everything to occupy your Temple Mount. Family, I want you to know that Satan will do everything in his power to occupy and to obstruct the mountain of prayer in your life. Prayer is our oxygen. Prayer is where everything starts with God. It is the relationship we have with God. It is originally started in prayer. You cannot have a relationship with God if you can't pray. You have to have a relationship with God through prayer. That's where there's communication both ways. You pray, you give out the Word of God. Through reading the Word of God, you take in the Word of God. Then through prayer, you give out the Word of God. Then through reading, you take in the Word of God. It is a two-way stream. And the Bible says God is the God that always speaks. He's constantly speaking to you. But God wants you to understand there's a place where He wants to speak to you. And every time you want to go to the mountain, to the place of prayer, you find Satan trying his best to obstruct you. He gives you friends that tells you, no, rather come with us. Or you lie on your couch watching your 60-inch TV and playing PlayStation, and now you know it's prayer Monday night. Suddenly you just feel like the TV and the couch, they are now your best friend. And Satan is using a simple thing like that to occupy your prayer mountain, your place of prayer. Family, prayer is like a mountain. It is not easy to do. I have not found one person except my friend Soji, a Nigerian guy. This guy can pray. Man, he irritated me. He was praying night and day. If I find him, he will be praying right now. I'm honestly sure he will be praying. He irritated the daylights out of me because I didn't feel or got attracted to prayer in that way. But through years of preparation, he got himself a habitation of prayer, and he always will tell me, it will not come in a year or two. You have to effectively pray every day and conquer your mountain. Prayer is not a mountain that you can speak to and it will be cast in the sea. Prayer is a mountain that every one of us need to get to. It is hard work. Have any of you ever tried to climb a mountain? Any mountain climbers? Are you really mountain climbers? Everybody around them, pray for them, please. It's hard work to climb a mountain. It's not easy to go up a mountain. The higher you go, the less oxygen there is. It takes you a long time. Sometimes you need instructors to take you to specific mountains. Stay with me, I'm taking you somewhere. So when prayer is not coming natural to you, you have to understand there's a reason. When things are obstructing you, there's a reason. You have a real enemy trying to obstruct and occupy your place of prayer. Prayer is where the power is. Prayer is where your life changes. Prayer is where you get the oxygen of heaven to breathe it into the earth. Did you take a note of that? You suck in the oxygen of heaven. You breathe out the breath of life into this world when you pray. So prayer is so important to God. But it's a difficult mountain. It's not easy to climb a mountain. But it is rewarding, so people tell me. I don't see any reward in it. It's like you and your prayer life. But they say when you get up into the mountain, when you've conquered that mountain, they say it is such a rewarding feeling when you eventually have conquered your mountain. And right through the Bible, when you study the Old and the New Testament, you find mountaintops and prayer go together. You find it being connected. Mountaintops and prayer. Family, I want to tell you that God speaks on the mountaintops. And every time you read in the Old Testament, you will find God calling people where? To the mountaintops. Not just praying somewhere in a valley or in a room, but on the mountaintop. Now, I don't know why we are still praying at the foot of the mountain. Scared people pray at the foot. When God called Moses or Mo into the mountain, everybody was jittery. They didn't want to come close to the mountain. Most Christians today are like that. You call them to prayer meeting and they are, oh, no, you go pray. They're afraid of a prayer meeting. You shouldn't be afraid of a prayer meeting. That's the place of change. That's the place of power. That's the place where you can grow the quickest. So a lot of people are afraid of this, like the people that didn't know the Spirit of God. I can tell you, you can sit in church, you can fool everybody, but let us pray. You can tell everybody that you are a Kung Fu Christian, you can kick the devil's butt, but let us come together in prayer. We will quickly find where you are when it comes to prayer. And the devil is keeping God's people, like the Israelites, at the foot of the mountain praying. You should never become a valley praying Christian. You have to become a mountaintop praying Christian. The view of your world, the kingdom of God, is different from the top of the mountain. Here in the valley, you will become, every time I say this, I see those horses with the claps. You will become a tunnel vision Christian. You will see week after week, month after week. You will only live because that's all you see. But when you get to the top of the mountain, that's where God. You know, when God called Moses to the top of the mountain, and then he said to Moses, look over this country. It is where the Israelites, your people, are going to be. When you study the Bible, I can't help thinking about Abram. sacrificing Isaac on the top of the mountain, and then God spoke to him. So the mountain I'm talking about is the mountain of sacrifice. When God called Abram, making a covenant, he says, Abram, go to the mountain which I will show you. There you sacrifice your son to me. And there God spoke to him. And right through the Bible, we find when God calls people up, it is a sacrifice there, but God always speaks on the top of the mountain. I can't help thinking about Mo going up into the mountain when God called him. He says, Mo, come up here. Everybody is jittery. Everybody is crying. Moses went up the mountain into the mist. It's like God saying now in the New Testament, come boldly into the throne room of God. Everybody was afraid. Moses went up. When he went up into the mountain, God spoke to him. Said to him, this is what I want you to tell my people. Then I think about Elijah praying to God on the mountain for rain, and it rained. And then calling fire from heaven to consume everything. You want rain in your life? You want God's blessings in your life? Then you have to become a mountaintop prayer warrior. You want the fire of God in your life? You call the fire on the top. When Jesus was in the, I want to tell you that Jesus was in the habit of going to the mountain. In the New Testament, you read the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find Jesus went up the mountain. There's a reason why God wrote there, and Jesus went up the mountain to pray. He didn't say, and Jesus stayed in the valley and prayed. Jesus went up the mountain to pray. This is Hollywood Christianity thinking that what we are doing today is not going to cost you. It is going to cost you. It's not going to cost you to get your life right with God. Christ did that. But to have a warm relationship with God, a strong relationship, to change your world, it's going to cost you. You have to pay a price. You have to learn to go up the mountain, all the time up the mountain. When everybody else is at the mountain, bottom of the mountain praying like this, you go up. Go up. Don't let the devil occupy your place of prayer. When he's occupying it, he's building. Sooner than later, you will find temples on your mountain place. Your wife will be a temple. Your kids can be a temple. Your new job can be a temple. Your finances can be a temple. There's many things that can happen. If you allow it, the devil will use all these things to become more important than your place of prayer. In Matthew chapter 14, 23, if you have your Bibles here, follow with me. It says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. Wow. Jesus went up the mountain and he was alone there. There's corporate prayer and then there is alone prayer. Now, if you struggle with the alone prayer, come to the corporate prayer where you are not alone. Learn to pray and interact there and listen to how people are praying. Then you have to create for yourself a habitation where you alone can go to the mountain to spend time with God alone, where God can speak to you and nobody else, where God can love on you and nobody else. Many times Jesus went alone up to the mountain. There is a place for you to go alone and create that habitation, create that spot where you make up your mind. Wednesday nights between 8 and 10, I'm going to the mountain. Let me just tell you, making up that your mind right now, coming Wednesday night this week, all hell is going to break loose. For you not to spend every other Wednesday. Okay, we've got home some. No, let's watch. Let's make it Thursday night. Thursday night, you want to pray. Every other Thursday night, it's you, flat screen TV, and an Xbox. No problems, people don't phone you. You sit here right now, you make up your mind, you're going to go. I tell you, all hell is breaking loose. Your phone will not stop ringing. You will miss a train. Everything is going to stop, start happening not to get you to this place. You can take that to the bank. Make up your mind today. Go test it. Go test it. You see, then there's times when Jesus took his disciples to the mountain of prayer. He didn't went alone. You know, in Luke chapter 9, 20, it says, now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James up and went up the mountain to pray. Now, I said it in the earlier service. Friends, if you have a mountaintop praying home cell leader, they will always take you to the mountain. When you have a good home cell leader, they will always teach you to pray because they know that that's the only thing that will sustain you. Not their caring, not Pastor Tabu's preaching, but you having an active prayer life. So when they are a good home cell leader, they will do it. If your home cell leader has not invited you yet, guess what? There's only good and bad. I guess you come speak to me after the service so I can get you to a better home cell leader. It's tight. You have to teach people to pray. Prayer is a muscle like faith is a muscle. So home cell leaders, take people to the prayer meeting. I have taken people many times. Home cell leaders can't get rid of all the stuff. Struggle with the people. People don't want to listen to them. Then I sat with them and said, okay, all I want you to do is to come and pray with me. Okay, Pastor. Take them to the prayer meeting. I tell them, I don't want you to pray. I don't want you to say nothing. All I want you to do is you're going to sit there in that corner. All I want you to do. Then they sat in that corner for 3 weeks. By week 4, I see them standing up. By week 5, I see them starting to participate. Then months later, I find them still in the same prayer meeting. I didn't do nothing. I just got them into the presence of God. I got them to a place where they realize this is it. When you get addicted to that, nobody, no devil in hell is going to get you not to pray. No devil in hell is going to keep you from a prayer meeting. But I said it in the earlier service, this is what you guys are doing. The pastors and the leaders say to you, come up the mountain. God is calling you up the mountain. Then you guys go, you kick the pastors, you kick the leaders. Get out of my life, get out of my life. In the meantime, you don't say it, but you actually say, hey, devil, but keep on building. Kick the pastors, kick the leaders, kick everybody. But in the meantime, build, bro, build your stuff. Build your stuff. Then later, 6 months later, 6 years later, your prayer mountain is occupied by demonic stuff. And you don't understand where there is no power, why there is nothing changing in your life, where your love for God is now suddenly dwindling, your love for the church is fading. Because you've got the enemy on your mountaintop. You've got allowed him to build all his stuff. Now you kick the pastors in the teeth, you kick the leaders in the teeth, you kick everybody. Meantime, you're not kicking them, you're kicking Jesus. You're not kicking them, you're kicking the Lord. Jesus will always call you to the mountain of prayer, always. Because there, it's him and you. There, he does his supernatural work in and through you. I know that this is not what you've come for this morning. I know that you just come for good news. This news will save your life. It will keep you in the good news. Jesus could stay on the mountain all night. We find it in Luke chapter 6, 12. It says, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. When last did you guys as a home cell got together and prayed all night? Now everybody's looking down. I'm going to tell you later why you're looking down. When I started off, nobody told me. We prayed many a night. Many a night as a home cell. Right through the night. When last did you pray right through the night? When last did you pray for an hour in a week? And you want things to change? Your excitement for church will leave. If you are not a praying mountaintop Christian, your excitement for God's kingdom and for your church and this, it's going to leave. Will dwindle away. When the rain of life comes, the valleys flood. It's the people at the top that miss that stuff. And the rains of life, they will come. And if you are a valley praying Christian, you're going to be flooded and you're going to drown. That's why God wants to call you up to the mountain. So when the rains of life come, the things of life, you can quickly get to the mountain. I have a friend in South Africa. He's my best friend. When I started, we have started as friends. He was like a gazelle on the mountains. He lives in the Eastern Cape in South Africa. Man, that guy can climb a mountain. When he's halfway, I'm just starting. He is also one that irritated me, not in prayer, but in climbing mountains. He's like a gazelle. Even today, a few weeks ago, I visited him. We were climbing the mountain. I was talking about having a six-pack at 40 years old the previous night. We got in the mountain. I'm sweating, man. I'm far behind him. All he said to me is, "Where's your six-pack now?" But he's fit. He's a few years older than me. But boy, it's not his first time that he's climbed the mountain. He has climbed many a mountains. And now he's still like a gazelle going up the mountain. And I struggle at the back. Now I tell you, when the problems of life comes, when you are trained to run up to the mountain, it's easy. Easy to get to the top of the mountain. It's not you are halfway or quarterly up the mountain and all everything is, you know, everything is out. You're tired, you're sweating, you have no breath, you can't go any further. That's what happened with the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus asked them to pray for 1 hour. These men were with Jesus. And they couldn't pray. It's not to say that you will be in this church that you will be able to pray. You can be with Jesus and still not be able to pray. They were with him and they couldn't pray for 1 hour. I want to encourage you here today. You have to stop allowing the devil to take your prayer mountain. You have to kick him in his teeth every time you have the feeling not to go. Every time you get a phone call from your pastor, "We are praying, are you coming?" You should say yes, because it's the Lord calling you to the prayer mountain. The Bible says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. That's what your God says. But the prayer group is like the Cinderella of the church. Nobody wants to touch her. She's got the, what you call it, apron on. The rest of you are just enjoying the blessings of other people paying the price. Now they, what you experience, I'm a firm believer that if a Christian is not praying in a church that is blessed, it's because of the people praying. Remove them from that person's life and you will see how they go down very quickly. God has called us all to prayer. All of us. All of us. I thank God when Jesus touched my life, I prayed for nights. Not once. Pastor Dreyer and Linky and myself and Marius and Arnell, we prayed every Friday night. Every Friday night as a group of friends together. We came together 8 o'clock till 12 o'clock, we prayed. We didn't play, we didn't watch, we prayed. 12 o'clock, they jump into their car because the Blackwell Tunnel closes at a certain time just to get through the tunnel. Many times we say goodbye to them and we then go back and pray. Pray for our home cells, pray for our churches, pray for the city. It's in a prayer group where God spoke to me about this venue. When I was still just a home cell leader, God says, one day you will be in the O2 arena. No, but you want to go to the movies. Ah, devil bolt. Bull devil. I'm helping you here today. I might not do much, but I'm helping you here today. Moses went up into the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights speaking with God. I said it earlier. When last did you make up your mind for the next 40 days, every morning and every night, I'm going to speak with God? You will never be the same. Never be the same. Make up your mind. I'm not asking you to pray for an hour. If God says pray for an hour, pray for an hour. I'm not God. There's something about praying for an hour. I have found that at minutes 50 to 55, your eyes close. Everything is shutting down. But when you get through that hour mark, it's like something's happening on the inside, bro. When last? Just 15 minutes. Make up my mind. I'm going to pray 15 minutes in the Spirit every morning. 50 minutes in the Spirit every evening for 40 days. Your life will never be the same. Never. In Exodus 24, 18, it says, so Moses went up into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain as Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, I have to be quick. What happens on the mountain of prayer? Number one, God will speak to you about yourself and other people. But the focus is God will speak to you about yourself and then about other, and that's one of the key things we don't want to get there. Because we don't want, it's okay if Pastor Tabu speak to me. I can still fool him. I can still take jam and put it around his mouth. But when I get there, praying with the Father, I can fool nobody. Two things that keeps Christians powerless. They're not in the Word and they're not in prayer. All power is invested in the Word. All power. He exalted His Word above His name. If you don't know the Word of God, you don't have any power. Prayer starts by you sucking in the Word. Then breathing out as you pray. Two things, the Word and prayer. So Satan will do anything to get you out of the Word. And every time you are in the Word, God speaks to you first. Do you know why I'm preaching like I'm preaching? I have to tell you because many of you think God has shown me your faces when I was preparing. This is for Joe Todd. He's not praying. Preach this message. You laugh about it, but that's how many of you think. This message is preached to me first. He dealt with me first. Now we say, go down and go speak to my people. Because if you are like this, just imagine how they are. He will speak to you first. When you read the Word, it's first for you, then for others. Stop trying to take this sermon for your friend that's not here. You make up your mind, listen, and take it for yourself. It is just for you. Don't fall asleep here. Wake up. It's for you. Take it. When you read the word, speak to me, Father. Right, now I've dealt with you. Now you can deal with other stuff. When you pray, Lord, speak to me. Right, I listen. Now I'm going to do this. Are you with me? Number two, God shows you patterns on the mountain. You know, that's why so many of us are going like headless chickens. We don't understand why things are not working. 2 and 2 doesn't make 4. 2 and 2 suddenly gives you 10. And you don't understand why. Because on the mountaintop, God gives patterns. It's on the mountain when he spoke to Mo and say, Mo, you better make sure you build according to the pattern I gave you on the mountain, not in the valley, on the mountain. Make sure you build according to the pattern. You want to build a great marriage? Mountaintop. You want to build a great business? Mountaintop. You want to build a great home sale? Mountaintop. You want to build a great church? Mountaintop. That's where God gives the patterns. To build according to what He wants. There's a message going out all over the world where people are building stuff called churches that is not built upon prayer. Well, my friend, that is a demonic pattern. It ain't the pattern from my Father in heaven. It ain't the pattern. No matter what they say to you, no matter how many fast songs, slow songs they have, excitement, lights, camera, action. Let me help you here today. The pattern from my Father in heaven is a sacrificial praise of prayer, where we all pray individually, collectively, and that's the place of power. So don't get sucked into. Because you're going to keep on kicking your pastors and leaders when they called you up to the mountain. The devil is going to build his stuff on your mountaintop. And later you're going to find yourself places where that is not the priority. Where the word and that is not the priority. I'm warning you. It's never intended for Israel not to have that temple mount. Soon, very soon, they will have it. And they will build a temple on that mountain. No matter what you think, no matter what the devil says, no matter what any person is saying, that is God Almighty's land from the beginning to the end. And very soon, He's going to kick the devil and everything else off that mountain. And He will build His temple on that mountain, where His people will come back and sacrifice and pray. And when Jesus comes back, He will rule from that mountaintop. Say, bless you, Pastor. Number three, the power to deliver people comes from the mountaintop experience. Oh, come on. Why are you here today? Why are you here today? Why are you? Oh, can I have somebody? Somebody in the cheap seats. Why are you here today? We know you want to praise the Lord. But after that, why are you here? Because you want to help people. I'm preaching like I'm preaching to help you, so that you can catch something and go help others to become stronger in the Lord. To deliver people and help people, you can't do it if you're a valley-dwelling, praying Christian. The power is at the top. It's when you conquer there and you come down that you deliver, that you help, that you mature. Let me show you. In Luke chapter 9 verse 37, it says, the next day after they had come down the mountain, a large crowd met Jesus. A man in the crowd called out to him. He says, teacher, I beg you to look at my son, my only child. An evil spirit keeps seizing him, making him scream. It froze him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. it batters him and hardly ever leaves him alone. I beg your disciples to cast out the spirit, but they don't do it. Or they couldn't. Jesus said, you faithless and corrupt people. I like Jesus. It's like some of you coming and say, you know, Pastor Tabu, the devil has, you know, take hold of my child. He's, you know, doing snake stuff. And I'm not talking about babies, you know, I'm talking about real demonic stuff. And I ask you, who's your home cell leader? Who's your zone pastor? No, so and so. But they couldn't help me. And then I come and I say to the home cell leader or zone pastor, you faithless and corrupt home cell leader and zone pastor. I can see the headlines all over the internet, Facebook. Pastor calls his members corrupt and faithless. You see, the plan of the devil is to build. Because Jesus said this thing, God doesn't come out by talking. He only comes out by prayer and fasting. You see, that's what the devil wants. He wants you to kick the pastors and everybody, to not to get you to the prayer meeting, not to pray. Then the devil built. So the devil builds. Later, the stuff that he has built make you faithless and corrupt. Sit in church. Come every Sunday, you sing the fast songs, you sing the slow songs, you get the goosebump, you have the coffee. But your mountaintop is occupied by the devil's stuff. It's going to lead you to be faithless and corrupt. Jesus said, you faithless and corrupt people. Now listen to what he's doing. I'm not saying you're faithless and corrupt. I'm just saying, if the shoe fits, put it on. Then Jesus said to the man, bring your son here. As the boy came forward, the demon knocked him out to the ground and threw him into a violent convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit and healed the boy. Then he gave him back to his father. When you come down the mountain, you don't have to look for a devil. They look for you. We are not after devil deliverance. There's no such thing as a deliverance ministry. I just want to help some of you here. The only deliverance ministry is Jesus. When he's got you, you're delivered. So you all run to deliverance ministries. That's where they deliver. That's where the devil deliver. You don't understand why some people are not changing. Because they go to deliverance ministries and the devil keeps on depositing in their lives. Go to the mountain. Let God deal with you. Then when you come down, God will bring people to you that you can help. And the only way you're going to help them is when you are prayed up and full of the Spirit of God, the fire of God. Then only will you be able to deal with that kind of stuff. When last did you deal with that kind of stuff, Christian? Number four, Jesus will transform in front of your eyes on the mountaintop. There's a side of Jesus that he will never reveal to you unless you're a mountaintop prayer warrior. There you see a different Job. You might know him by what I say. You might know him by what you read in books, what you see on YouTube. But when you are on the top of the mountain and the man make himself known to you, then you see a different Jesus. He called his disciples up. Come with me. They knew when Jesus goes to the mountain, he's praying. So they are with him. They come there. He starts to pray. Suddenly he changes. Transformed into the brightness of light. They lived with him. The Bible says they ate with him. They were traveling with him. But they've never saw the man as they saw him there. There's a side that you will never know about him unless you have the mountaintop. That intimate relationship that you look for, what you're looking for. Valley dwelling, praying Christians, they don't see the man like that. They don't see him like that. It's like a marriage relationship. My wife reveals things only to me. And I reveal, no, sit and giggle here. Stop. A side of her, she reveals her personality only to me. And she to me, and I to her. We want the fire. We want all these things. But we are in the valley dwelling. We can't even create you to pray for 5 minutes. I'm trying to wake you up here this morning. Because the devil is building his stuff in your life and you don't even know why you are so faithless and tired and depressed and your love for God and the church is just withering away. Kick the devil off the place of prayer in your life. Put the Lord back on the mountaintop and go meet him on the mountaintop. Number 5, instructions come to you on the mountain. Instructions come. When you are on the mountain, God said to I called Mo up to the mountain for Moses, and he said to him, Lord called him from the mountain, saying, this you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel. That's why, after God dealt with you, God will give you instructions for your marriage, for your business, for your children, for other people. And then you come and you go and instruct. Number 6, the Lord will show you secrets and hidden things on the mountain. God reveals stuff to you. I just explained that. That he will explain to you certain things about him that you've never known. You can't read it in a book. Secret stuff, hidden things. You sit there and you think, but wow, if I one day can know the things that Pastor Tabo knows. I also sat there once. And I thought, these men are falling, they fell from heaven. How do they know these things? Then I realized, but I can have the same revelations and stuff if I just start climbing my mountain. And I started to climb the mountain. And then God will reveal things that's hidden to you so that you can go and pattern and build and instruct and help people. Is this helping somebody? Number 7, fire falls on the mountain. Fire falls on the mountain. Elijah prayed for rain on the mountain. And the Bible says it rained. The blessings that you need, pray for it in the place of prayer. The rain is coming. Keep on praying till you see it happen. But fire also falls on the mountain. And you and I, we need the fire. We need the fire of God upon us. 7 young men in the book of Acts, they saw Paul delivering somebody from a demon. They thought, oh, if Paul can do it, we can do it. They go to the demon said to him, oh, Paul, we know. And Jesus we know. But who are you? And they got a whipping. That demon whipped them that day. Real bad. Because they were not mountain top dwellers. They were valley praying Christians. But Jesus and Paul, they knew the secret. You need to get to the mountain. So I know you sit here and you think, yeah, but you can do it. And I want to ask you, do the devils know your name? Do they know your name? But I tell you not arrogantly, everyone in this nation knows who I am. Do they know you? That's what you need to ask yourself. Because if they don't know you, they're going to give you a whipping. They're going to kick your butt. And you're going to feel tired, and you're going to feel drained, and you're going to feel, you know, like somebody has been, from Monday to Saturday, they hit you. Then Sunday, you are like coming to the corner of Jesus, you know, and we spray the word over you, and we dust off, you know, and we take the blood off, and we're trying to catch you, and then the bell rings, ding, ding, Monday. And then you go back Monday, and it's, the devil hits you. You don't understand. In the meantime, we are shouting from the corner, out of your corner, go to the mountain. Go to the mountain. Now you run to church. That's great. We're just going to dust you off, and we're going to throw some water on you, and we're going to make you feel better. We're going to put your mouthpiece back, and then you're going to go back for another whipping. And you laugh about it, but now, today, you need to understand. We can only help and encourage you and say, the secret is go back to the top, not run to the corner all the time. Running to the corner when you've been at the top, man, then you're going to whip the devil. And you need the fire of God. That when you walk into places, things happen. When you preach the words, people get delivered. When you preach a sermon, devils don't want to leave. And that's what God wants. He wants it to be in your eyes. The fire should be in your eyes. Many times when I preach and I hit the nerve, I see people do this. Why? Because your eyes are the windows of your soul. But when the fire is burning in your eyes, you don't mind looking into somebody else's eyes that has the fire. I've delivered a few people from demons, and I say to them, look into my eyes. They say, no, I can't. And sometimes I take the eyes and I open the eyes with my finger because I want that devil to see me. And then they say, no, afterwards, the devil is gone. I ask them, why didn't you look into my eyes? He says, I can't look into your eyes, Pastor. It is like flames of fire. Now, what is different with you? Just go to the mountain. Just go to the mountain. Just go there. I want to encourage you to go to the mountain. But first, before you go, start kicking the devil. And he sings, because I tell you today, after the service, he's already going to build another thing. Palmer is going to say to you, oh, it's great service. We're going to all be at the prayer meeting on Monday. And then you're going to already think about an excuse why not to go to the prayer meeting. That's the devil. You have to kick. And then you need to know there's stuff that he has already built upon your prayer mountain. Kick him. Break it down. Don't break down God's people and God's ways. Break down what He is doing. Get yourself to the top of the mountain. That's the place of victory. That's the place of power. Moses, God said to Moses, go fight Amalek. Moses, go up the mountain. Pastor Johan and Eugene, quickly. So Moses went up the hill. The Israelites is fighting. Moses is praising God. He's lifting up his hands. He's praying. Now, I can imagine Aaron and her standing there. Just go stand there. Thank you. They stand there like many of you. Good fight. Church is going. We are. Service is getting full. Meantime, the pastors, they are worshiping God, thanking God, praying. Then later, these guys, they didn't realize. Moses and her didn't realize that Moses' hands started to become tired. And he dropped. And they were here. What's wrong now? Oh, something's wrong now. We're not growing as we should grow. Oh, something's wrong. Maybe it's the pastor. Oh, maybe there's sin in the camp. I can imagine an angel coming and saying, not... Look at Mo. They look at Moses, they say, whoa, but there's a pattern. Every time they stop praying and praising, the enemy takes ground. So what did they do? They didn't stand there. They came to the prayer meeting. And they started to live. Come. Pray for them. It's your pastors. They started to lift up Moses' hands till the victory came. Thank you. Come to the prayer meeting. We can't do it alone. And every one of you is a Mo, a deliverer of God's people. And there's some battles that you will have to fight. And then you are going to pray that God will open the eyes of those who are there, predestined by Him to help you keep your hands up so that God's people can have the victory. But if you are not on the top of the hill, the devil is going to punch you. It's going to steal from you that what God wants to bless you with. Get to your mountain. Kick the devil off the importance of sacrificial prayer. Pray and keep on praying. Never stop praying. God is going to bring the victory. He said, if you cry out to me and you are called by my name, I will hear in heaven and I will come down and I will fight your battles and bring you the victory. I tell you, God is up to something. He is up to something when He wants you to hear this message. God is busy preparing you to come and deliver many people, this city, this nation, but on God's terms and God's ways. Stop being a valley-dwelling Christian. Stop being a valley. You can dwell in the valley, but go pray in the top. Don't pray there. Don't pray there. You can hide many things from many people, but you can't hide your prayer life. When we pray together, we see quickly where we are. Keep on praying together. That's why we have to encourage each other daily, while it's day, to come together. Let us pray for salvation for our city, for our families, for our nation. Let us see God comes like a mighty wind into this nation and this city and bring deliverance and freedom to people that so desperately need it. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us like no man can. I pray right now for those who are saying, yes, I'm going to go to the mountain. Thank you for faith and strength for them to go. Thank you that they will recognize how the devil is working. And Father, I thank you that evil shrines, that high places that the devil has built, we will break it down in the name of Jesus. We want to break it down, every person in this place, as they commit to you in the place of prayer. Thank you that those high places that is not from you will be broken down in Jesus' name. Maybe you're sitting here today and all eyes are closed and heads are bowed and you say, Tabu, my life is not right with God. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I'm not sure that if I die today that I will spend eternity in heaven. Maybe it's just you and you went through something in this life and you desperately need a Savior. You desperately need to make right with God. Then I want to ask you, can I please pray with you? Because the Bible says 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to give us good news. He came to give us a life and a life more abundantly. But for that, we need to commit to Him. For that, we need to come to Him. Right now, as I speak, I know that God is speaking to hearts here. You know that you need to make right with God. And I know that God is speaking to you right now. He's calling you, saying, come. Come up. Come to where I am. Now, if it's you that I'm talking about, by all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, and you say, that's me, I want to be included in this prayer. And I ask you, can I please pray for you? Quietly just slip up your hand and say, Tabu, here I am, so I can see where you are, and I'm going to pray with you. Before we go out today, your life is going to change. Thank you, I see your hand. If you've put your hand up, you can put it down, but right now you need to choose. The Bible says God puts before us life and death, and He says, may you choose life. Amen. I want both of you to look up to me. Please don't look down anymore. You know, the Bible says no man can get you to make this decision except the Spirit of God. That means you've just heard the voice of Jesus telling you to come back home. All I'm going to do is I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. I want you to commit your life to Him. Make up your mind today. Give my life to Jesus. I'm turning my back. I'm following Him. You know what's going to happen? God's going to change your life. God's going to set you apart, and God's going to use you for His glory. So I want everybody else to stretch out to them. I want you to put your hand on your heart. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for today that you spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today and I ask for forgiveness. Thank you for Jesus. Father, I heard your voice. I believe with all my heart that your Son is Jesus and that He died for me so that I can have life. Use me for in your kingdom. Fill me with your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.